And we intentionally choose the word family because the scripture uses a word picture, a number of them, to describe the church, but one of those word pictures is God's household, God's family, the family of God. And in the natural realm, we look around and we see all kinds of families, and families have different interests. Some families are all into sports. You can see it. They're always talking sports. All the kids are in sports. Parents are in sports. It's just sports channel all the time. For some families, it's the outdoors, backpacking and hiking and camping and everything having to do with the outdoors. For others, perhaps, it's maybe art or music. For some, it might be games. They just love game night, and they just have a ball in their family. For some, it might be academics. The point is that no family is identical to every other family because each family has its own history, and each family has its own unique combination of people that are unlike any other combination. And what's true of families in the natural is also true of families in the spiritual, church families. There are dozens of churches throughout the county. And if you were to visit every one of them, you would not find one church identical to another. There may be some similarities for sure. I assume all the churches will be singing. And all the churches will have some proclamation. But what you'll find is that churches also have different flavors to them. Different things that they emphasize or value in the church. And that's true of Calvary as well. We have our own history, 51 years and counting. And we have our own group of people that gather together. But the cool thing about God's family is there's always room for more. At our college ministry on Thursday nights at the campus, we always say there's one more seat, always one more room, seat at the table. Because we want everybody, right, Nick? We want people to know anyone can come to the club. So there's always room for a family, but we feel that if someone wants to be part of the family, it's helpful to be transparent and say, this is what our flavor is. We don't believe in false advertising. We don't believe in bait and switch. We believe that if we're going to be real as a family, that we ought to be transparent and let you know what we're like. And so I want to go over with you a few things that for Calvary we emphasize. One of them you probably have figured out is we really preach Jesus around here. Shipwrecked, rescued by Jesus. We talk about Jesus a lot because we believe that Jesus is God's pivot point of human history. That's not a coincidence that there's BC and AD or BCE and AC, whatever. There is a turning point in history when God came to this earth. The scripture says, referring to Jesus as the Word of God, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. One translation says that the Word was made flesh and moved into the neighborhood. God came to planet earth so that we can know who God is like. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And that by Jesus coming, he not only shows us who the Father is, but he makes a way for us to be restored to the Father. So for us, Jesus isn't just an add-on. You know, for us, the church isn't just a facility or a building. The church isn't just a group of people gathered together and a crowd. You can go to a football game and do that and cheer. No, ours is that we are gathered together because we have placed our trust and faith in Jesus as Savior and that we have become part of his family by faith. And so therefore, for us, Jesus is absolutely essential. And so we preach Jesus, we talk Jesus, we seek to follow the commands of Jesus through his strength and power. Because when we look at Jesus, we don't just see a Savior, we see the Savior. We see what Jesus said about himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father but by him. We look at this and say that when we see Jesus, we say that he is the only mediator between God and sinful humanity, the only one that can bring us back, and that salvation is found in no one else. So, yeah, we preach Jesus. Unashamedly, we preach Jesus. With grace and truth, we preach Jesus. We take seriously what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 about Jesus when he said in verse 15 that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's why we emphasize Jesus. And we believe that we are called to worship him and exalt him, just like we did in that psalm before I preached, that we want to know him and build him, that there is no other name but his. In Philippians, Paul put it this way. He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped and held on to, but he emptied himself. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we preach Jesus. That's an emphasis you're going to find here. And so if that's something that resonates with you, certainly welcome to the family. But if you don't like them, want them, or understand them, or don't want to know anything about them, you're probably not going to enjoy the flavor of Calvary, because you're going to hear about Jesus a lot, because he's the one that we have trusted in his salvation. A second thing that you'll find is this: we don't go to. We emphasize Scripture. You'll notice that our kids in Vacation Bible School learn Psalm 27:10 and Psalm 46:10 as part of their Vacation Bible School. We believe that the Word of God came inspired by the Holy Spirit, that God breathed out his Word through servants, and they committed to writing. Now, they weren't dictation machines. God used their personalities, their temperament, their language, their situation, but he used them in such a way that they conveyed the very words he wanted us to hear. Which means we don't look at this as a book written by a bunch of old dead guys, but we look at this as God's living word speaking truth to us today just as powerfully as when it was written originally. That this scripture is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. As Jesus said, that the word is truth, and when you and I believe that truth sets us free. So we take time every Sunday to spend time in the book. And our goal in it is not to take one verse and then spend the next hour talking about my thoughts. It's to understand what did God mean when he wrote it, and how does it apply in our lives today. Because my words aren't going to save you. My words aren't going to rescue you, but his word will, as his spirit illuminates it to our hearts and minds. So you're going to hear not the 7 best self-help methods to make it through a successful day. You're going to hear about how to live in relationship to God through Jesus Christ in the power of his spirit, relying on his grace. That's what you're going to hear here. And I make no apologies for that, because this is what we value. We value the word of God. That it is the word of God that when we hide in our hearts, we do so we may not sin against him. That the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that the word of God is what we want to meditate on day and night. So yeah, we emphasize the scripture here. And considering how many scriptures I've already quoted or mentioned or read, I think you get the point. A third thing that you will find here in this church is that we believe in prayer. It's not just a little 15-second grace before an hour meal. We believe what Jesus said when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God's common grace, nobody has a chance. And apart from God's grace in our lives, there's nothing of eternal value we can do. But we believe that God created a universe in such a way that he made prayer part of the universe, in that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we asked of him. 1 John chapter 5, 14 to 15. Look at that again. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask of anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. God is not this distant God away, but he is a father who has drawn near, who knows that need upon your heart. And he's created a universe in such a way that prayer makes a difference. Another thing that you probably have discovered already is that at Calvary, we love to worship. We love to praise the Lord. I was raised in a denomination where it was three hymns, one at the start, one at the middle, one at the end. And that was all you did. Now, I don't want to freak you out, but it's not uncommon for us to spend up to half an hour, 40 minutes just in worship to God. Okay, if your neighbor just passed out, use a little smelling salts, it's under the chair, you can help them. No, and here's why. We believe we were created to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so we like to do that. And you could probably tell we're not exactly quiet about it. You know, we don't mind clapping and dancing and praising and celebrating because, you know, there are some folks at a preseason football game that'll do a whole lot of cheering and shouting and dancing and high-fiving. And we think we have something just a little bit more important than pigskin. Now, some of you may not be willing to go that far. Wait a minute, Pastor. Hold on. That's pushing the envelope. No, see, the thing is we get to worship God who made us. We get to worship the Creator who made everything that is. And the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, the skies show his handiwork. And everything gives him praise. We want to join in and give him praise as well. Because for us, faith isn't just about a series of doctrines that you check off and say, yep, yep, yep. Faith is about a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's an intimate, loving relationship with the one who made me and loves me and has a plan for my life that will bring him honor and that it's a good plan. So we celebrate. Sometimes we celebrate with a lot of noise, make a joyful noise to the Lord, and sometimes we celebrate, be still and know that I'm God. It's not one set all the time. It's just the freedom and spontaneity of giving him praise. We'll use some hymns of the faith that go back 300 or 400 years, and we'll also use some modern hymns here. We'll use choruses, we'll use psalms. It's a mix. And as you can tell, we have a team of people up here. I read Psalm 150 for a reason. They had a whole orchestra playing in worship, and we're thankful that God has enlarged us by adding Brian Crispin to the group on drums. One more piece that allows us as a team not to go, wow, look at them, but to allow them to lead us to the Father, and we follow in worship to the Lord. So I thank the worship team for their service to this church. But we love to worship. Another thing that you'll find here is that we're led and seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. And what do I mean by that? I mentioned that I was raised in a denomination that had the set hymns. It was one at the start, I think one somewhere right around the sermon, and then one at the end to conclude. And not only do we have that, we had in our bulletins the liturgy, the entire service laid out. So we knew where we were going, what we were doing. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No. That properly done can be an incredible blessing. I know for me growing up, there was a beauty to it. I knew where we were going, and I put my little fingers in all the places, sticking little papers. But there was an order to it, a symmetry to it, that was beautiful. Somewhere around 12 or 13, we switched churches and I moved to the Assemblies of God. And at Calvary Assembly of God, we don't have a set structure. There's an overarching. But what would happen for us sometimes is we may go in a different direction. We may say, here's where we're going, and I feel the prompting of the Spirit or the worship team might or someone from the congregation, and we might just gently switch over here. It will always be done in a fitting and orderly fashion to glorify the Lord. We try to be sensitive. There's times that we may say, hey, I'm going to preach here, and then the worship goes on. I said, folks, we're supposed to do this. And we just try to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's our flavor. Some people would call it charismatic, Pentecostal. We just look at it as this is the way the early church did it. They just let the Holy Spirit direct them, and that's the flavor we have. Nothing wrong with the other way, but that's not the way we do it here. It's just a flavor led by the Spirit. Another thing that you'll find if you haven't already seen it is we seek to not be a pastor-centered church, but a people-centered church. And what does that mean? Some places, and again, this isn't saying yay or nay, but some places will pay the ministers, the professionals, to do the ministry. We believe that ministry, the pastors and leadership, we're here to equip you to do the ministry. That the goal is not, you come, we entertain and perform, you pay for your ticket, and you go home. Ours is that in the body of Christ, nobody sits on the bench. That's why I was so thrilled. We had probably close to 30 or 40 total that helped with the Vacation Bible School program, from decorating to helping out with the advertisements to doing the actual VBS itself. 30, 40. Why? Because we believe in team ministry, and that the leadership isn't there to enrich themselves and feed off the flock, that the leadership is there to enrich and feed the flock, to empower them to do ministry. That every one of you, if you are in the kingdom, have this calling on your life that God has for you, and that the joy I have as a pastor is not doing it for you, but investing in you so that you can do it for the kingdom. That's what we do here. So if you just like to sit and not serve, you're probably not going to be comfortable with the flavor of Calvary. And that's okay. We just know who we are. And we'd love to have you. If you catch that vision, like, wow, you mean I can serve in ministry? Yeah. Yeah. That's why our bulletins, I don't know if they still says it. We used to have it. Nope, not now. But on all of our annual reports, at the top it says Raymond A. Richards, and it lists all the pastoral staff, and it says pastors. And underneath it says people of God, ministers. Because we believe every one of you has been called to ministry. And we believe that the Holy Spirit who leads the service is the Holy Spirit that gifts you for service. I had a chance to sit down with Brian Friday. We have a policy in worship ministry. We want to give you an opportunity to get acclimated to the worship team, to get used to playing. And so we have you take part in rehearsals for about 8 weeks. And then I sit down with you and I say, tell me your heart. Share with me your story. Because what we're looking for is we're trying to match people's gifting with the ministry. I use this story often, but we have a guy, this was years ago, we had a guy in the church who said, well, you know, I see a need. I'll help oversee the ushers and greeters. He did it, I don't know, maybe a few weeks, few months. He comes to me, he goes, this isn't going to work. I said, why not? He goes, I don't like people. Well, that's probably going to hinder your ministry and usher greeters. Just saying. Hi, welcome to the church. I hate you. You can go through the doors over there. Bathroom's around the corner. Nah, it's just not going to work. But what he found is he found a television ministry that we had in our old building. He did that for 7 years. He'd get up there. He would tape the program. We put it out on the access cable station. He would do all the editing, all that needed to be done. He thrived at that ministry. So that's our desire, is to help you find, what's your story? Where has God gifted you? What is it that he has brought you through that prepares you for this? I know last week, not this week, but the week before, I had a chance to take our son Jonathan to Rochester. He moved out of the house. He finished college, and he's now in his own place, to which certain individuals who will remain nameless in our home are saying, thank you, Jesus. It's not a time to wave, Hannah, okay? Just saying. But you know what was so cool is he and I were chatting about his calling, his ministry. And he looks back over the experiences he had growing up in our home, and he said, Dad, what's happened for me is I want to invest in people. I want to make a difference. So he's looking at going in the field of social work and counseling to bring Christ to bear, to help people move from despair to hope, from brokenness to healing, to be able to walk in wholeness in Christ. That's his pilgrimage. When I talked to Brian, and Brian told me he was a closet musician for most of his life, that when he started, he used to play newspapers or magazines on his bed. He would just play this as a kid. Was it? Wooden spoons. Playing this thing. He now has a chance to use his gifting in honor to the Lord. And I think of Anne and some of the things that she's doing with her artistic and creative. We've teasingly said that my artwork extends to a circle with a line and a couple of sticks out. That is my person. But other people are gifted. And I look at you and go, wow, dear God, I'm godly jealous. Bless them. Different giftings. I think of Don and Bob and the work they've done around the church and the stairwell that's going in with Don Armstrong and Bob Coleshon and Al Decker. Just beautiful stairway up into the balcony area. People are using their gifts. Some will use their gifts in the church. Some will use their gifts outside of the church. But we believe that as a church, our flavor is what can we do to empower and equip you to do what God's called you to do? That's who we are. And that's because another thing that we emphasize here is that we focus on ministry. Now, we love getting together, laughing and eating. We do that well. But ultimately, we're not the Lions Club or the Kiwanis or the Elks. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. And for us, it's about ministry and service to the King and to one another and to the people who don't know Jesus. And that's something that we stress here. It isn't just about having a great time together, us four, no more, and bar the door. Ours is that we want to see people mature and grow in the Lord. See, it's not enough just to see people come in. It's we want to help them mature and grow, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to help them navigate those struggles and trials in such a way that instead of fighting them, they rejoice in them so that they can mature and become complete, lacking nothing. We believe that people are supposed to look like Jesus when we're done. That discipleship isn't conversion. Discipleship is being discipled to look like Jesus when we're done. And that's the emphasis that we place for our children, for our youth, for our young adults, for our older folks, adults, and older men and women. We want to help people find their place of ministry. So we want to find the Holy Spirit's work, leading of the Spirit, find understanding that it's not about me, it's empowering you, and then release you to ministry. Because ultimately, a final emphasis you'll find here is we focus on mission and missions. This church supports over 24 missions works around the world. We believe that the Great Commission was to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that we're to bring the good news, both in word and deed, to those who do not know him, so they may know him. And we stress the importance of this in that every year we have a missions convention where the whole weekend is spent with missionaries coming in, sharing their stories with us. We also, the third Sunday of every month, normally, we did it last week, but we take time and we have folks in the church who adopted a missionary and they will share on what that missionary has been doing for a few minutes. We call those missions moments. It's because we believe in mission. These are values, core values that make us who we are. And if I were to summarize them, if you take a look behind me, it'd be this. We're Jesus-focused, Bible-based, prayer-grounded, praise-filled, Spirit-directed, body-centered, ministry-oriented, and missions-minded. And so important are these values that every welcome bag that you receive when you come here the first time has those values on the back of the visitor's packet, because we want to be authentic and let you know this is who we are. This is what we emphasize. Now, different churches throughout the valley will have different emphases. And that's great, because I believe that the bigger body of Christ all together can do more for the kingdom than one individual church can by itself. But we know what our family is all about. And so we say, today you're a guest. Next week you come back, welcome to the family. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the beauty that each church that seeks you can bring to a community. That no one church has all the resources, all the people, all the time to do all the ministry. But that all the churches together who seek you, working together, have an opportunity to display to the community, this is who Jesus is. We pray for churches all over this valley, Lord, that you would empower preachers to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That you would help churches all over the valley to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That with one voice, we'd bring one message, one Savior, Jesus, to our community. And that, Lord, you would bring about an awakening that would bring lives into the kingdom all over this community, all over this county, all over this region. Thank you for the part that you've given Calvary to play in this. We're no better. We're just one of many. But may we be found faithful in the call, And Lord, if there are those here who, having had a chance to hear a little bit about our family values, say, hey, you know what? I think this is where I want to be. That, Lord, they'd find a loving and warm welcome. Find a place to be able to serve you. And Lord, if this is not where you've called them, then would you make a way for them to find a place where they could get planted and grow to become all that you've called them to be in service to the King. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our coming King. Amen.